Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome to the Final Inspection Show. I'm Steve Zocchi, along with Mayor Mitch in studio today. And I'd like to thank Great Lakes Dragway for supporting the show all year. And yes, they are open today.
They are.
They were closed last night because of cold, but they are going to be open. It looks
gonna
nice.
It's going to be a balmy.
It looks
40
nice.
Degrees today.
It's even warmer than that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I would guess 43 is the high, but no, with the sunshine out, it looks nice, and there's no wind, so you got that going for you. But they will be making runs today at Great Lakes Dragway, so if you get a chance, get out to Great Lakes Dragway, and perhaps if you're on the north side of Milwaukee, maybe stop at David Hobbs Honda, 6100 North Green Bay Avenue, and take a look at their wide selection of new and used vehicles at David Hobbs Honda. You can check them out at davidhobbs.com, and you can also check out Great Lakes Dragway, greatlakesdragway.com, and also on their Facebook page at Great Lakes Dragway. So good stuff there, and that's where you can get your most up-to-date information. As we're getting to the, you know, close to the end of the season at Great Lakes Dragway, always make sure you check them out, make sure if they are open or closed on any particular day. So, Mitch, quite the exciting week in motorsports. Probably the biggest story in the last 20 years, if not longer, and that is, of course, the surprising news, and there's so many different layers of this story, and that is Roger Penske, or I should say Penske Corporation, purchasing the Indianapolis Motor Speedway along with the NTT IndyCar Series and IMS Productions out of Indianapolis. And it's a big story on so many levels because, well, let's face it, Indianapolis Motor Speedway is the capital of racing. Of course, people in Daytona like to say that. I'm sure the people in Charlotte would like to say something. And there's certain our Italian friends in Italy would have something to say about that too. But Indianapolis, if you've been there, there's a lot of stuff going on. Indianapolis Motor Speedway, of course, hosts the Indianapolis 500, which is the world's largest single-day sporting event, which has seen fans probably, I would say, 275,000, maybe pushing 300,000 a day.
The greatest spectacle in sports.
Yeah. And at one time, even pushing 400 with the reconfigure. They've actually taken some bleachers out and some seating. They made it more fan-friendly, but it's taken some seating away or, you know, where people can mill about inside the infield. So, but it's still huge, huge, huge. That's the population of basically Milwaukee going to a 30-acre, 40-acre facility. So pretty huge news, and we're going to talk about that. We got a lot of people coming on today, and let's see here. Who do we have? We are going to be talking with, of course, we're going to, Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb, is going to be joining us. We're going to chat with him coming up next. We're going to have Timothy Frost. He's been on the show before. He's president of Frost Motorsports, and I like having him on because he's an economic and financial motorsports analyst. He loves the business end of motorsports. He also, with Dennis Michelson, hosts the annual Racetrack Business Conference, which is held before the PRI Performance Racing Industry Show down in Indianapolis in December. He'll be on. I'm also going to have Tom Beeler on, an old friend of mine. We used to work together at Racing Information Services, the RIS, which is came out of the old CompuServe network for you geeks that remember the old CompuServe network and Prodigy and all of those. This was the first online racing service, which I had the pleasure to work with in the mid-90s. And we're going to talk with him. We're actually going to talk with David Hobbs, too, Formula One analyst, of course, friend of the show. And once again, we're going to have George Phillips on from oilpressure.com. Excellent blog and website there. We're going to talk to him. And then also, of course, Dennis Michelson. I'll chat with him later in the show and then also talk about the latest in NASCAR. And then we're going to close out the show with Eddie Lapine of RacingNation.com. Get some insight from him and also race predictions for the weekend. So we got a full show today, Mitch. And then after the show, we got college football, don't we?
Yeah, LSU and Alabama coming up right here on The Fan, starting at 2 o'clock. You can hear the pregame show. Game kicks off at 2:30. Number one against number two, Steve. Big one right here on The Fan today.
Huge. And as my friend...
Some are calling it the game of the century.
I don't know about that, but it's a huge, huge game because we're going to see how exactly...
Coach O finally beat Alabama?
Right. And you know, as my friend likes to say... You know, NASCAR is the biggest sport of the South. And I go, what about college football? He goes, that's their religion. So it is. You know, I mean, it's SEC football is huge.
They've been showing, they were panning on game day this morning, panning over like tailgates.
Yeah.
And it's just like, they must rent out these tents that are just, sure. It's just for miles, it looks like. It's people, and you know, obviously the weather down there is probably perfect right now, probably about 65 degrees.
And
nice.
How,
trees are a little starting to turn color a little bit.
You know, we have Green and Gold Mondays here at The Fan, and we talk Packers a lot. And even in the off season, there's a lot of talk about Packers and whether draft and off season moves and all that. There are stations down south. There are just all they talk about is SEC football year round.
Yeah.
It's huge. And I think there's a portion of this audience that might not understand how big.
Yeah.
SEC football is down there.
I think it's one of those things where if you were to end up in Florida or Alabama or Georgia, you know, living in one of those states, coming from the north where, you know, we like our football.
Right.
I think it becomes ingrained in you when you live down there.
Well,
and then you follow it if you move back or move around the country. It's just like it's almost a part of you if you're a sports fan. You probably might like a team or something. You know, if you move to Florida, you might like Florida. I don't know why, but
well, and you travel down south, you know, especially if you drive, it's interesting. I had this opportunity a couple of years ago. You know, drove down to Florida with my wife, and as you go further south, the high school football stadiums get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And I remember getting, you know, into Georgia, and I told Susan, I said, you know, look over to the right, take a look, and she goes, wow, that's big. I said, Susan, that's a high school football stadium. She was shocked. It's like, what? It's yeah, that's how big high school football is.
What do you think
down,
so. That place would seat? It, you know, the one that you're picturing in your head. I mean, 30,000 for a high school game?
No, I'm thinking it was probably, well, there are some. I mean, if you look at where the Packers played last week.
Was it as big as
the
yeah, Chargers stadium?
Yeah,
I was gonna say.
A little bit smaller, okay. But maybe not as much
size?
Infrastructure around it. But for seating, yeah, pretty darn close.
Wow. So about 30,000.
You know, I mean, 25, 30. Yeah, it's amazing, you know, just how big football is down south.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So yeah, make sure you tune in to LSU Alabama football after the show today. And like I said, we got a lot of stuff going on in the show for the next 2 hours. Actually, dominating the show is going to be the Roger Penske purchase of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the IndyCar Series. I want to get some different views on that, including like David Hobbs, who's been on the show, but he also worked for Roger Penske and was a driver for Penske back in the day. So looking forward to that in the second hour, and we'll talk to Jeff Orlowski, the Polish pipe bomb, coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by Legendary Great Lakes Dragway and Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda. And some fantasy football news. Of course, Brian Hoyer is going to start for the Colts tomorrow instead of Jacoby Brissett. Make sure you listen to Bill Schmidt and Tim Allen tomorrow morning.
I think Tim's back.
Yeah, tomorrow, and get you all your fantasy news. But if you want to make an update now, in case you forget, you know, I have too much to drink something tonight, you might forget, you know, a lot of stuff going on, watching football games, college football games, whatnot. Update your fantasy football roster now. But, yeah, Jacoby Brissett out for the Colts tomorrow. Hey, joining us on, a guy who's not out but is on, ready to go here, it's Jeff Orlowski joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Welcome to the show, Jeff Orlowski.
Thank you, Steve. How's it going?
Fantastic. A lot of stuff going on in the world of motorsports. Usually at the end of the, end of the year here, it's usually just some NASCAR. They're in Phoenix this weekend. We had Texas last week. You know, we're trying to cobble up enough for a 2-hour show. But we're busting at the seams today. There's so much going on in the world of motorsports. Even last night, we had a truck race at ISM Raceway in Phoenix. And who won that race?
Well, that was good old Stuart Friesen. He got busted for jumping the start right at the beginning, had to drop to the back, had some contact. I think it was during the second stage as well. Got some light damage to his car. You know, he just passed so many cars yesterday. And they had the coverage. They interviewed his crew chief. And it was really interesting because the crew chief, you know, they're like, oh, are you still talking to NASCAR about it? He's like, it is what it is. We're here to run our race. We just got to rebound and get back up to the front. And that's exactly what they did. It was a great attitude to have. Stuff happens, and sometimes the calls don't go your way. And that was one that should have gone Friesen's way. Hill was real slow at the start, and because Friesen got to the start finish before he did, it was jumping the start and he had to go to the back. But, that was a good race. That was a good race.
Yeah. I mean, and Phoenix has been reconfigured. Are you still used to, seeing the start finish line where it's at?
No, not yet, but I'll get there probably in about 5 years, just in time for them to reconfigure it again. So, you know how it goes.
Yeah, it certainly is. And of course, Brandon Jones finishing second, Chandler Smith, Ben Rhodes, and Grant Infinger. And, Johnny Sauter came across eighth, and certainly kind of a disappointing end of the season for Johnny Sauter, Wisconsin favorite.
Yeah, it was. And, kind of the wave of emotions between Sauter and between Matt Crafton, who snuck in to get the last spot for Homestead. I definitely feel bad for Sauter, and hopefully next year he can get right back to the finale in Miami.
Yeah, and it's with the Cup Series and the Xfinity Series also racing in there. What's kind of grabbed your attention so far this weekend?
Just how the final two spots are going to shake out in the Cup Series. You know, I don't really care much about Xfinity, so that doesn't really move the needle. But, who's going to grab the final two and join Truex and Harvick in the final, racing for a championship? You know, there's the bottom four, and Kyle Busch could miss it. And that would be a big change from many years that we've grown accustomed to Kyle Busch always making the race for the championship. Same with Jimmy Johnson. And if neither one is there for the finale at Homestead, that's going to open up a lot of doors and take, Kyle Busch is usually competitive, but Jimmy Johnson hasn't been this year, but it definitely shakes things up.
Yeah, especially when you look at practice, final practice speed, you have Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, your two quickest, and those are certainly two guys that could certainly shake things up.
Oh, absolutely, and Chase Elliott was near the top on all of them, from top overall speed, 5-lap, 10-lap, 15-lap averages. So Chase has got himself one heck of a good car, and you know, it should be exciting. There's going to just be 100 different storylines going on during that race, and I can't wait.
And of course, our favorite, Mr. It would be great to see him get in to shake things up. That would be Kyle Larson. What hope do you have for him?
Not much, but he's one of those ones, and they mentioned it last week during the race at Texas. You know, when you start kind of playing games to eliminate Kyle Larson from Miami just because of how strong he is down there every single year. And I wouldn't be surprised if you kind of see that maybe take place sometime during the race. But we'll see. Obviously, the only people that could really do that would be Truex or Harvick, people that are locked into the finale.
Yeah, certainly is. Talking with Jeff Orlowski on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. And, Chris, we'll talk about the Blue-Green Vacations 500 at ISM Raceway. Race time locally is 1:30, which is a little bit earlier. It's usually later in the day, isn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, usually. The 1:30 kind of, it's a weird time to throw the green flag. But, they've had some strange start times this year, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, and of course, last year was Kyle Busch actually won the race. So are we maybe being a little premature? I'm not saying we're writing him off, but he certainly isn't in the strongest of positions so far this year.
No, he's not. But, again, he was one of those on top of all the practice speed, top of the charts. He was top five in overall, 5-lap, 10-lap. So, he's got himself one heck of a race car as well. So I definitely don't count Kyle out. But, this is the year where, there hasn't been too many mechanical issues the last few years in NASCAR, and we've seen them rear their ugly head these last few weeks. So it's definitely possible that at least one or two of the final eight could sit there and have something wrong and have their day go completely upside down.
I'll be wearing my ABL T-shirt tomorrow. That's my Anybody But Logano T-shirt. And he's fourth now, and I mean what's interesting, we could definitely see a situation where he could fall out of that fourth spot, can't we?
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's not safe, and besides Truex and Harvick, everybody had a nervous night last night. So depending on what shakes out, we could get a surprise or two into the finale. That's what makes this exciting. I'm not a huge fan of the playoff format, but this gives a little bite to it.
It certainly does. I mean, we certainly have voiced our displeasure over it over the last years, but there comes a point where it's here, we have to deal with it. And if this is how they want to do it, that's fine. As I think we mentioned last week how, in the past it was, the steadiest and a real deserving driver has won it. But, and now it's become more, and this is what they want, it's more like the NCAA tournament, the tournament is 64, where you kind of, it's the hottest driver's going to win this thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, who's got the momentum and, you can't, if you're looking at who's got the momentum now, it's hard not to say it's Kevin Harvick winning last week. He goes to one of the strongest tracks for him on the circuit. Would I be surprised if he wins two races in a row? No. And so it seems like it all is lining up for the four car. But, between Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, there's a bunch of guys that in the final six that haven't clinched their spots that are, have good equipment for tomorrow. So it's going to be awesome. Edge of your seat kind of stuff.
I do want to just touch base on the Xfinity series, how Christopher Bell has been just so dominant, and for him to win last week in that, he could sweep the end of the season, can't he?
Oh, absolutely. He's got great equipment. He's got tons of talent. You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he sweeps the end of the season.
I do want to kind of look towards next year, though, with him in that 95 car. And they'll probably be, I'm thinking they're going to get a little more support from Joe Gibbs Racing on that side. How tough could that 95 car be next year?
It's tough to say. You know, you got a rookie making a big jump. You know, the cars are so much different between the Xfinity Series and between the Cup Series that, you know, it's a huge jump in with the, you know, kind of equipment that they're driving. The cars are completely different. So I would like to say that I see him winning at least one race, but I don't. So I think, you know, there'll be 5 or 10 tracks where, you know, he'll get a good finish and be competitive. But, he's got all the talent in the world, but it's a steep, steep learning curve.
I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to say at least one, if not two, races next year for two reasons. Because in the past, it might have been a situation where they have taken guys maybe a year or two early and pushed them through. This is a case where this guy has been, you can kind of figuratively call him on the bench, kind of waiting to see, and kind of like a Aaron Rodgers situation where the guy had the talent but was on the bench because of somebody else. That's definitely the case with Christopher Bell. And I think with the equipment he's going to have, it's going to be an upgraded. I don't think it's going to be as good as the 78, but I think it's going to be probably somewhere in between where the 95 is now and what the 78 was when that team was, when Furniture Row was still around. And I think it's going to be, I think he's going to surprise. It's going to be as a rookie can be. He's going to have some really bad weekends, but I think when everything is clicking, he's going to look awfully, awfully good.
Yeah. You know, that's definitely not going out on a limb. Like I said, he's got all the talent in the world. He's in decent equipment. So, you know, would it shock me if he finds victory lane? Not at all.
Yeah, and bad news, though, for ratings last week for Texas. The NASCAR Cup Series playoff race from Texas averaged a 1.4 rating and 2.2 million viewers on NBCSN, marking the smallest audience in the 15-year history of the race, excluding rainouts. And part of that is because it was moved over to cable. I'm still surprised, though, that it's not on NBC, especially when I switch over there and they have some pay-per-view on there, some guy selling knives or something. Why NBC doesn't have that on against football is kind of scratch my head over that.
Yeah, me too. They've been hiding these races on these weird channels, and you know, it is what it is. I don't put a whole lot of stock in it. I think that the NASCAR base is, you know, still strong, and you got the diehards. So they need to reach out and grab some crossover people, but they're doing a good job.
Talking with Jeff Orlowski and the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Yeah, I kind of scratched my head over that because I could see if you're doing some Olympic pre-trials or something's on there, you know, that they want to showcase, or I don't know, even cricket or something that they're trying to push. But when you just have pay-per-views and you don't really have anything going on there, why not have it on NBC? It's just kind of a head-scratcher.
Yeah, I agree with you more.
Give me your predictions for the Xfinity Series today and the Cup Series tomorrow.
Christopher Bell, Kevin Harvick.
All right.
Not going out on a limb this week.
Okay, very good. All right. We certainly appreciate you coming on the show, and enjoy the rest of your weekend, Jeff. How about for the Packers? I missed your Packer prediction.
They're going to win like 27-17. So, you know, they just got to shut down Christian McCaffrey, and all should be well.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good. See ya.
Jeff Orlowski joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Coming up next, we're talking to Timothy Frost. We're going to get into the financials of this Roger Penske Indianapolis Motor Speedway deal coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, along with David Hobbs Honda, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It is Timothy Frost. Timothy Frost, of course, of Frost Motorsports, is an economic and financial consultant with over 20 years of experience in the sports and entertainment industry. He is my go-to guy for anything that big happens in the business world of motorsports. Timothy, welcome to the Final Inspection Show.
Good afternoon to all your listeners.
Appreciate you taking time out and joining us. And is this the biggest story you can think of when it comes to the business side of auto racing?
I think it goes and ranks right up there for several reasons. One of it, most importantly, is the iconic nature of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's a long history in Circle City there. Its tutelage and ownership and vision by the Holman George family. Those are just one of the many reasons why this recent transaction with Penske Entertainment Corporation and Roger Penske puts this at near the top of the list.
And it certainly makes a sense. I mean, if you're Tony George and you're looking to get out of the business and you understand that, you know, it's a decision that's going to be, you know, given with a little bit of a crooked brow, like, why, you know, how can you do this? So you maybe want to, you're probably thinking about the legacy point of it. And is there a better choice you can make than Roger Penske at this point?
No, absolutely. One of the things that we have to, there's a lot of factors involved with the decision they made, but one of them is we're dealing with a family company. We're dealing mm-hmm. with a legacy that's there, and through all family businesses, there's going to be some natural turnover where they no longer want to remain in the business, or they decide to maybe have to go sell out and use their proceeds for other areas. So this is not uncommon within that type of business. The other thing that is important to know is, you know, we had, the matriarch of the family, Marie Holman George, passed away about a year ago from that. So with her, then it leaves the beneficiaries, the heirs, the descendants of her, her estate then have to decide what to go through and do. And there can be many things involved. One may be involved with taxes. We never know that there could be taxes involved with having to go and cover her estate. Typically there might be some, with this transaction that's in there. But again, really the choosing of this, they brought in, one of the legendary sports investment bankers, Allen & Company, represented the Holman George family in this transaction. They had longtime legal advisors for Indianapolis-based headquartered firm Ice Miller, who have long been the counsel for IndyCar and the Holman George family. So they are well aware of, you know, how to handle transactions, what trust planning documents had to go through and do. And then on the other side of the equation, you know, by them going in and approaching and ultimately selecting, Roger Penske, Roger's history with the Speedway, we know is long and iconic, along with his success as a businessman being on the Forbes 400, along with the fact of his history, just in motorsports. And I think all those involved really made this transaction almost seem natural. But in addition, it is probably made the negotiation and the ability to actually consummate the transaction much, much easier mm-hmm. and stuff like that. That is something that may not come to thought for most people as they look at this business deal.
Yeah, and there's two things going for this transaction. I mean, for this marriage, if you want to call it a business, is he knows the sport, he knows the business, what they're getting, what he's getting into, and he also has the means to purchase it. And the, of course, now this is a private, like Holman and Company is a private corporation, but the price range that's been kind of kicked around has been anywhere from $600 million to $2 billion. And something that Roger Penske could purchase. It's interesting that I think it was Robin Miller, somebody had asked him, you know, could you have done this? Why would you have done this 20 years ago if you could have done it? He says, at that time, I did not have the means to do it. So with his acquisitions over the last 20, 25 years of companies like Detroit Diesel and other companies, he's built this corporation bigger and bigger and bigger, probably has doubled or tripled in size over the last 20, 25 years. Now he's got the means. Do you have an estimate of what kind of a, I think they paid X amount. Do you have a?
Again, as we're dealing with two private nature companies, a couple of things in regards to Roger Penske. First of all, you know, Penske's largest holding is in Penske Corporation, mm-hmm. which goes and own, which it in itself is a privately owned corporation, has interest in several businesses. One of those businesses that it does go and have an ownership stake in is Penske Automotive Group, which represents all of Roger's dealers and everything else like that. Penske Corporation, thus being, you know, Penske family, if we want to use that as synonymous, is the largest shareholder within Penske Auto Group. And Penske Auto Group is a publicly traded company, so there is liquidity for that. In regards to all of, you know, Penske's other businesses that that go and include in there, which would include Penske Truck Leasing, everything else like that. I think the real growth in his business and what he's doing has probably been on the dealership side of things under Penske Auto Group, that being for that. Now, the other part, which, you know, has been mentioned before is, you know, Roger does have a history in motorsports. Obviously, we know for his team ownership, his driving, everything else like that. But, you know, Roger, you know, had his company in, you know, originally started his facility ownership in 1973 with Michigan International Speedway in Brooklyn, Michigan, purchasing that track out of bankruptcy. He fast forward, you know, 23, 24 years, he goes and takes Penske Motorsports public in 1996. And the primary thing is they raised $80 million in their initial public offering. Those proceeds were primarily meant to go through and finance the building and construction of California Auto Speedway. At the time they went public in 1996, they had several speedways under the ownership, and included in that was Michigan International Speedway. It was Nazareth Speedway, and obviously the building of Fontana. Through a bunch of, you know, transactions and a bunch of other things, ultimately, you know, Roger did have interest in Grand Prix Association of Long Beach. He had some ownership interest in Dover Motorsports, and then ultimately then sold his business to International Speedway Corporation in about 2002 or 2003. That transaction at that time with ISC purchased an amount, I believe in the amount of about $240 million, $280 million, roughly doubled the size of International Speedway Corporation, both in terms of revenue, along with their ownership of tracks. Roger's son, Greg, was actually the president of Penske Motorsports for that, did take a seat on the ISC board for a number of years, stepped off probably in 2010. From that. So Penske knows this business. He knows it from a facility standpoint. He knows a lot of those things. So those aspects of it really do make this a pretty bankable transaction. As far as the amounts, I would expect that they would probably be at the low end of what you were talking about, mid, you know, I guess it would be nine-figure, several hundred million dollars for that. And the benchmarks you would use for that is, you know, we have Formula One was purchased by Liberty Media Corporation for a total equity deal of, you know, $2.4 billion. And then we've had the that's why this October has been so iconic, because we just had International Speedway Corporation and Speedway Motorsports go private under their private ownership in the family, with the France family taking ISC public. That deal was valued at about $2.1 billion. They actually brought on and then subsequently merged that in with NASCAR. The France family, primarily Jim and Lisa, borrowed approximately $1.5 billion to buy out the existing shareholders, give them some additional liquidity to go through and do that. And then at the same time, we had Speedway Motorsports and the Smith family, led by Marcus and Bruton and their brothers, have taken that company public. That was about a $900 million deal, where they ended up borrowing about $350 million in debt to take that public private. So what's very interesting is, you know, I think everybody in the industry can be assured that the sport is on solid grounds. We have families that have, you know, staked their, you know, basically their entire net worth and then some on this industry. Yet at the same time, they're committed to it, and it may not be the same interest as if you had a private equity fund or, you know, some other public company where you're having to look at the quarterly results of over the shareholders. So I think this really bodes well for everybody. You can be sure that, you know, Roger has already, you know, he's been there in the Speedway for a couple of days earlier this week. They toured the grounds. He's going to figure out ways to utilize the facility, because there is a lot of land there. You know, he does have his real estate component, so he could probably go through and create synergies with his other things in there. And I think the Holman George, one of the other things that was probably included in this deal is we had Indianapolis Motor Speedway as part of their Project 100 initiative 3 years ago, ended up the state of Indiana floated $95 million in bonds for them to bring the facility up to date, meet some ADA requirements, and also make some other enhancements. So as part of the deal, you know, we're having that debt was probably assumed by Rogers. So that's another, you know, $95 million that would be added to the total deal value.
Talking with Timothy Frost, financial consultant, especially on the entertainment side and the motorsport side. And a final question for you, Tim, what are we going to see? How do you think Rogers is going to kind of put his stamp on the Speedway over the next couple of years?
You know, I think I would say you're probably going to go and see it from a programming or schedule standpoint. You know, as he mentioned, the ability to go through and, you know, possibly hold some type of, you know, sports car endurance race, whether it be a 12 or, you know, a 24-hour event. From a facility standpoint, I think the leadership that has been shown in the Holman and Company, led by Mark Miles, along with what Doug Bowles, as president of the Speedway, has done, is they've been doing everything to the place. They have just their bag of tricks, and, you know, the alternative form of programming that they've done there has been outstanding. So I think from a facility standpoint, I think the place itself is pretty well, you know, has done, you know, a remarkable job, and, you know, adding the dirt track to it, renovating the suites for Formula One. So I think it's going to be from a schedule standpoint, something that he could bring in, create some activity, probably not go through and do, you know, Formula One race, because they've seen there, been there, done that, and that's got a pretty high cost of going through and doing it. But I think, you know, we as race fans and people who love this industry are really not going to notice too much of a change, but we can be sure that the future will be bright under the Penske tutelage at the Speedway.
Tim, we certainly appreciate you taking time out and joining us. Of course, you're also the publisher of the National Speedway Directory. How does someone get a copy of that?
Yeah, we just released our 39th 2019 edition of National Speedway Directory. Fans and other people can go and order the book at speedwaysonline.com. Also find directions to their tracks for that. And then we will be hosting next month down at the Performance Racing Industry Show, the 8th annual Racetrack Business Conference that will be hosted by Mr. Dennis Michelson, who will be appearing on your show a little later today.
All right. We certainly appreciate you joining the show and look forward to chatting with you again, Tim.
Thank you very much, and everybody, all your listeners, have a great day.
All right, that was Tim Frost joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
Coming up next, we're going to talk with Tom Beeler. He's the Senior IndyCar Series Editor with Racing Information Services. Coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Make sure you get out Great Lakes Day as they are open. So you can also check out Great Lakes and see if they're open or not this late in the season on their Facebook page and also at greatlakesdragway.com. Also, I'd like to thank David Hobbs Honda for supporting the show. Make sure you check out davidhobbs.com for all the latest in new and used vehicles. Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is Tom Beeler, Senior IndyCar Editor for Racing Information Services. Tom, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks, Dave. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Appreciate it. And, of course, Tom, RIS, as we called it, was an organization I was involved with many, many years ago and is the oldest online racing information site out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. In the earliest days when nobody really knew what a computer was like, Mike Hollander, a Californian who founded the group, I remember hearing stories where all these guys, rooms full of typewriters, and Mike would be hauling his TRS-80 printer, dot matrix printer, all this stuff, modem into a press room. And all these guys were sitting around watching Mike work at something. One day he got up, some tacked something to the bulletin board, and it was the just completed qualifying results from one of the Formula One races. And everybody realized, oh, wait a minute, this online stuff could be the shape of things to come. And so, yeah, we kind of weathered the storm. We're still out there.
Yeah, but certainly is a great source of information. I remember covering an event at the Milwaukee Mile, a NASCAR race, and Ernie Irvin was running one of the – it was bushwhacking, as they called it, and was running the race. And I remember I walked up to him, introduced myself, and he's like, huh? He had this look at it. I said, we're on the computer. He said, oh, okay. So that was
yeah,
kinda...
we got a lot of that.
Well, it's a lot better now than it was back in 1995, 96. So.
Oh, my God. First time I got credentials, to be unnamed individual at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway who was getting me approved for credentials kind of had to be walked exactly through what it is we did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were in a press room full of guys like Chris Economaki,
sure,
and Tim Tuttle and Ron LeMasters and people like that who had been doing it through typewriters forever. So, yeah, the whole environment has changed over the years, so it's been kind of nice to see everybody else see the light.
It certainly has. And speaking of changes, big change this weekend, which took a lot of us by surprise, with Roger Penske's purchase of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And there's been rumors for years that the Speedway was going to be purchased, and you and I both have conversations about, okay, who's going to buy it this week? And so what was your reaction when you saw the email that I got?
It probably wasn't significantly surprising. Tim mentioned it in the previous segment, and that this announcement came a year and a day after Mary George passed away. And whether that was a legal reason or just a practical reason, as Tony mentioned, he had at the end of the final race last season had approached Roger and had kind of floated the idea. And I suspect it probably is a little bit more of a story than that. But when Clabber Girl was sold in May, I think the writing was on the wall that the family was divesting and probably simplifying some things. And so it wasn't a huge surprise, and it wasn't particularly a huge surprise to whom they chose to sell it either, I think.
No. And what has been the reaction locally around the Indianapolis area, especially with the media, not only just the, like the motorsports media, but kind of in general, the local radio stations and newscasts. So how have they been covering it?
Oh, everybody was, you know, extremely stoked about what was going to happen. There's much optimism about what Penske and the organization plan to do with all of this. TV and radio has been buzzing, all the sports talk radio, the newspaper. And I've been asked a lot of times what the situation is like. So anybody who's spent time out there, there's much discussion about what does this mean next. And I think it's great speculation. Roger spent the day after the announcement walking through the track with IMS folks to go through what was still remaining from the Project 100 renovations to the facility. And other kind of wish list things, what they would like to do, what needs doing. And I think the infrastructure is a key concern. When they were originally working on the Project 100 from basically 2009 to the 100th rounding in 2016, the premise was renovating grandstands and so forth. And Doug Bowles had told me a story at the time about how after Tony Holman bought the track and Wilbur Shaw was making arrangements to have the facilities upgraded, there was a big concern about where to get the post-war steel to build these grandstands. And so sometimes some steel that was used is decaying or had decayed a little bit more quickly than they had anticipated. So much of the renovation that went on to improve the track had to be done to quickly stem the issues that might have developed in years to come from erosion and rust and so forth. So I think this is something Penske's going to have to address.
Yeah, interesting. It's something that there's been a lot of speculation about. Well, Tony George mentioned that. He goes, you know, we've kind of taken the speedway as far as we can take it.
Right.
And I think Tony can or Roger can take it that next step. And what are some of the things that you feel that could be done at the Speedway that Penske might be able to do?
A lot of speculation insofar as this is a now Penske Entertainment Corporation venue. I think they're going to start looking at other practical uses for the track. You know as well as I do, in the last 10 years or so, the track is become more of a concert venue, as much a concert venue in May as it is a racing venue. Also, in the last several years, club racing, Porsche Club Racing, or the SVRA, and a number of organizations have done track rentals and kind of increased the profile of activity there beyond the IMS sanctioned events like the Brickyard or the Red Bull Air Racing or Formula One and so on. So it wouldn't surprise me to see some more exploratory uses of the track, whether IMSA's involved or Formula E or whatever. I think Penske has made it possible for a lot more opportunities to arrive.
Talking with Tom Buehler of Racing Information Services, senior IndyCar editor, and the switching gears over to the IndyCar series. There's been some speculation, you know, conflict of interest. Our assistant program manager, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, kind of brought that up when we chatted a couple days ago. You know, how he didn't like that thought of Roger Penske owning the series and having cars in it, even though we've had Tony George, who had Vision Racing, and now through Ed Carpenter Racing in the series. But what do you think about that, about the people that bring up the conflict of interest issue?
Well, it's a legitimate concern, but I think by and large there are enough checks and balances. As Roger said, he's not going to be on the war wagon anymore. He will be in the offices, and so not being a strategist or directly involved with that, I suspect he's going to do what's necessary to avoid any potential conflict of interest, even if ultimately it means moving Penske Racing into Tim Cindric's hands in another way. But the other team owners have legitimate reason to be concerned, but I'm sure that rules enforcement and everything else will be very careful on keeping an eye on making sure things don't appear. I mean, even though Roger didn't own the series, his number of championships in the last several years have pretty much underlined that he doesn't seem to have a problem.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. And Tom, how does one find your work on the internet?
It's pretty easy to find. We're just looking at RIS_news.com and check us out. Principally NASCAR coverage, some IndyCar, a little bit of everything. So come take a look.
Tom, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show and look forward to having you on again.
Thanks, Steve. We'll see you in Indy soon.
All right. That's Tom Beeler on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
Coming up next, David Hobbs at the top of the hour on the Final Inspection Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.